Welcome to the sixth of our conversations with women involved in making books about architecture. I'm Helen Thomas of Women Writing Architecture. Today I'm talking with Pamela Johnston, as well as asking her some questions on behalf of my fellow editor, Rebecca Billy. Pamela grew up in Scotland, moved to England, and then returned to Edinburgh to study interpreting and translation in French and German at Heriot Watt University. Her skill at languages extends to a working knowledge of Italian, Spanish, Swedish and Latin. Pamela's professional life as an editor, with almost four decades' experience in architectural publishing, has played out in London. Here, in addition to freelance translation and editorial projects, Pamela began working as an editor at Academy Editions in 1984 until 1989, when she moved to the Architectural Association until 2017. During her time at the Architectural Association, she has encouraged and guided future editors and publishers. In addition, she has completed a Master's in the History of Ideas from Birkbeck College. Pamela has shaped the structure, content and text of seminal books. Now, her reputation brings her work from both sides of the Atlantic. So, Pamela, may I ask you why make books?
We make books because they open our minds to new ideas. They let us get a handle on those ideas. They maybe even absorb them to the point where they help shape our thinking. Why make books? Too, they take you to new places that you might not otherwise go, and those places might be historical or geographical. They make those places real. In making ideas and places real, the physicality of a book is very important, as opposed to looking at things on the screen. Ideally, you have something quite beautiful. You're able to hold it in your hand. You can grasp the whole extent of it at the same time.
Just so engaged with the text of books. I'm wondering, is that the way that you entered into the world of books?
Yeah, definitely text. Text, always, and always language. It was like a default position, I suppose. Maybe you can define my career as always going with the flow. So, you know, when I was at school, 15, 16, you don't know what you want to study. And I studied what was then called modern languages. A four-year course of study, I think I probably knew at the end of the second year that I did not want to be an interpreter. High pressure, sitting in a box. This was a time when Britain was not long in the EU, and so a lot of our practice was in common market, as it was then, scenarios, butter mountains, wine lakes. Not only was it boring, it's super high pressure. You know, you could kind of lose concentration for a nanosecond and that was it, you were screwed, you know. I wasn't going to give up. I finished still not knowing what I want to do. But again, from studying languages, I probably knew that what I loved best was putting things into English. I was married to an American architect, so I ended up in publishing and ended up specifically in architecture because my ex-husband was an architect. And it was so naive. I showed no interest while at university in anything to do with publishing. I wrote to Academy Editions completely speculatively. To my surprise, got called for an interview. I was just super lucky to land in a place where they actually let me deal with words. The technology of publishing has changed so much when I came in. You know, when I started, we'd send out the you'd mark up a typescript and you'd send it to an external typesetter. And I remember the ones at Academy were called Darling, Darling. I guess it was a piss take of the first words they'd hear when they picked up the phone.
Rebecca's prepared a couple of questions. I'm going to turn to those now. Seeing that you studied interpreting and translation at university, this idea of the author's voice, how do you feel that translating gives you a way into working with that?
It really does. When we were studying translation, they were always talking about idiolect and getting the voice of the author. You know, making the author feel that they own the text, even when it's in translation. An empathy with the author and with what they've gone through to get the text. They've really thought about what words they want to choose. They have their own distinctive voice, their own way of expressing things, and if you're going to change things, try and do it in their voice.
I love this issue of empathy that you talk about. I'm going to go on to Rebecca's second question, and she's intrigued about working at AA Publications. You worked there for a long time, so I guess it changed so much.
I guess I worked there so long because it was always changing with each head of school and their interest in publications. I went to the AA first when Alvin was still alive. I went because of a connection with someone who worked briefly at Academy, who also worked at the AA. I was drawn to the AA because of all these incredible, extravagant, beautiful publications that you wouldn't get anywhere else. I remember being with Alvin in the back of a taxi, and he was showing me sandpaper and talking about how it was going to be screen printed for the cover of the Leverance book. My first book there was one in the same mega series. It was on Dimitris Pikionis. The gallery got lots of stone in. We were trying to replicate the path up to the Acropolis. And yeah, it was so different, each head of school. Alvin died, I think, less than a year after me going there, and the AA went through one of its periodic cost-cutting binges. Of course, you know, publications, I think it had been extravagant. Publications department was severely cut. Mary Wall stayed for files. And this could have been a moment when I left architectural publishing. And so then Alvin gave way to Alan Balfour. Money was still tight, we didn't do much. Things changed when Moisson came, and then it was 10 great years of just doing really interesting things. He's a very good editor and had got like his finger in the pulse. So that was great. And then again, complete change when Brett came in. That's when I did my history of ideas. What's it like working at the AA institutional sense? Yes, great. I realized super privileged because it's very rare to get to work someplace where commercial considerations aren't the main factor in whether you decide to do a book or not. So it's just sheer luxury, sheer privilege to kind of work on books that are chosen for the ideas in them. The publications were core to that corporate rebranding. It wasn't just the titles. It was the first time really at AA Publications that the design became more important than the words. And that was really tough because, you know, we'd all been used to working with the author, and you get something that you're as good as it's going to be. And then we had new designers. Brett swept out the old ones. Again, making books, super privileged. Again, small team, tight collaboration. And then we went to just basically, we were down the pecking order, and the designer would give us something and say, can you cut? And it wasn't just a line here or there. You're used to kind of adjusting the typography to get a paragraph to fit, to make it all fit neatly on the spread. It was kind of like cut 17 lines. It was like, it was a nightmare.
It's really very, very interesting to hear so clearly, because it has come up in other conversations about this relationship. How does graphic design make a book? And there are so many different approaches, and you've experienced different approaches and the relationship between the visual graphic and the text and the ideas.
But at the same time, they had an intern who was super talented, Rosa Nussbaum, and I worked with her. There were little sparks of light in the darkness.
Yeah. That Rebecca says you've worked on some iconic books, and she says, is your working process constant, or do you adapt it to each project?
It really depends on what I've been commissioned to do. I can be quite happy just with the words. You know, the words are my central focus. And yes, I love working with talented designers.
Well, maybe I could ask you about the special book that you made that was your project, the one you made with Peter Merkley.
Yeah. Again, with Rosa, I did it. And it was a follow-up to the one Moisson and I had done 10 years before that. And at that first book, I think Peter Merkley was just beginning to find his voice, or at least in articulating his thinking to other people. So the texts in that were quite short. The whole design process, we worked with Vince Frost and Sonia Diakova. And I remember going to their studio. Peter came with us, and it was so simple. Nothing changed. It was completely different, much more complex, but just as rewarding. You know, the words were much more complex. Again, in the first book, Peter had spoken in English. This time he didn't have the fetters of English. And so it was a great learning process.
What advice would you give to somebody who's thinking of making a book?
It depends on what capacity, but I guess general advice, keep the faith. But making a book requires a very particular kind of alchemy. It's very human. Editor, designer, publisher. You know, you have to think about making a book. You have to think about how you can make AI work for you. I use AI for translation. I use it to do the grunt work. At the press of a button, I can get a basic translation that previously would have taken me days, weeks, whatever to get. So it's kind of keeping AI in its box, but also thinking about how you might be able to use it. So there are all these architect in places that, you know, we barely visit. AI allows you to bring the cost of translation down. I'm sure there are many wonderful texts that haven't been translated into English yet because we are so Anglophone and we don't look outside. So that's an area that could be expanded. And yeah, I think the other thing is architecture is very niche at the moment, and it's like books by architects for architects. There's potential to widen the scope. And yeah, people have strong opinions about architecture. They should be a bit more engaged with it, not just on a purely visual level. They should know why it is like it is.